Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
This weekend, the message came into my heart, and this message, I believe, is a preparation for what God is going to be wanting to do this fall. It's laying the groundwork for a move of God that I believe is going to emerge out of a very difficult time coming at the end of this year. And I don't have a lot of clarity as much as I need to, but when I come back, I'll have more. But the message is this: leave the 98. Leave the 98. We know the story where Jesus said, leave the 99 and go to the one. Let me read it to you out of Luke 15. Jesus said in verse 4, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep? Now listen to this: until he finds it. And when he finds it, not if, but when he finds it, there's no give up here. When he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. Jesus is saying that a good shepherd knows the status of the flock because they're counting. And when one's missing, it said he leaves the 99 and he goes and he searches for that lost one. Because when you're separated from the flock is when the wolf will literally tear you to shreds and kill that animal. And that shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes and he finds the one. And when he finds that one, he rejoices and he literally carries that sheep back to the flock. We are called today, and the message is not leave the 99, but to leave the 98 today. There are two groups of people in our nation today that are at a terrible risk of being devoured, terrible risk of being harmed by the wolves. And the wolves aren't people. The wolves is an enemy of all of our souls who desires to steal and to kill and destroy. And these two groups of people are black people and policemen. These two groups of people today are being brutalized. Now you say, well, Pastor John, forget our opinions for a moment, okay? Remember this. This isn't about being right. This is about fighting not for an opinion, but fighting for people. Jesus died for people. And when we fight for an opinion, more than we fight for people, we lose the heart of Jesus like that. And my hope tonight, today, is to help you not to see it only, but to model it for you. Historically, of course, black people have been through unimaginable things. There are men and women that are old enough to remember not being allowed to go into a restaurant because of the color of their skin. And then this thing with George Floyd just kind of blew it all up in our nation. There's a lot of pain in that community. And my responsibility is to serve the people in that community because we're one in Christ. We are human. We're in the human condition. And I want to serve them and love them the way Jesus would love people. The same with police today. Boy, they're being it's a tough job today. Because of the action of a policeman who, I don't even know how you, what you even say to that kind of action with George Floyd, almost nine minutes kneeling on, that's pathological. That's psychotic. And yet now policemen are being so marginalized, they don't even know what to do. Let's defund them. Let's get rid of them. Yet the Bible calls policemen ministers of God. And every day they leave their house, not on sure footing. Every husband and wife and mother and father of a policeman, regardless of gender or race, they're terrified because they don't know where their footing is. And see, what the world tells us to do is pick a side. It's an either or neither. But that's not what Jesus did. He left the 99, in this case, the 98. And I want to help you today to learn how to go to the two, to actually model what Jesus modeled. Because the reality of it is that in the world in which we live, the extremes want to pull you away from the love of Jesus. We have to, like Jesus, please hear my heart. And I'm going to say it as I wrote it in my heart. It came up in me. Like Jesus, we have to refuse to be loyal to any movement, any person or group that violates the will and heart of God. Our battle is not flesh and blood, the Bible said. Our battle is an enemy that seeks to destroy people. Many that are fighting the other extremes have made the other extremes their enemy. They're not the enemy of any Christian. They're in the mission field of every Christian. Because we are to do what Jesus did, is to love. And he actually, I'm going to show you how he actually modeled it. The most culturally disruptive acts today are going to be done by those who love like Jesus. The most culturally disruptive acts that you're going to see in the next 6 months, if God's people will yield to his spirit and love like Jesus loved, are going to be those actions. I believe it will be said if God's people will yield to God at this time and not be driven by political discourse and one group saying this, and Pastor John, I wish you'd stop saying you support Black Lives Matter because you don't know what Black Lives Matter really is, the political movement. Yes, I really do. Yes, I do. And I've read their entire, what they believe and what they stand for. And much of what they stand for is unbiblical. That's fine. It's a political movement. I'm not going to be co-opted by any party or any movement. I'm going to be a Jesus follower. I'm going to be loyal to follow Jesus. So I say, and I will say again, Black Lives Matter to me. That's the question when I die and go to heaven. God didn't ask me about some political thing. He said, son, did Black Lives Matter to you? As a Christian, we need to love with the love of God. And don't marginalize people because of the rhetoric. And my prayer for all of us, and I pray this out of the book of Psalms, Lord, that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth would be pleasing in your sight. And I'd like to add this, and the postings on social media. Come on, man. Why don't we just go ahead and be Christians? I want to show you how Jesus modeled this kind of love. And it absolutely broke the back of culture. It broke every expectation that anybody would have had for him. You know when I know that I'm loving like Jesus? When both extremes don't like me. When I get pushed back from both extremes and say, you need to. I'm like, no, I only need to love Jesus, do what he tells me to do and what Michelle tells me. That's it. I refuse to be co-opted by any movement, by any anger, and legitimate anger from people. Sorrow, bitterness, unforgiveness, even though it may feel legitimate. I can't let that live in me, and I'm sure not going to let what lives in others live in me. You can't love the people Jesus died for while not loving them. It's just kind of common sense, but how did Jesus model it? He did it right before he was going to be arrested and die. When he was soon to be betrayed, the very night he was going to be betrayed and brought through the process where he would be crucified. I want you to see what he did. I want to help you. I want to model that for you right now. And I want you to actually see it in action today. In John 13, verse 1, this is what we would call the Last Supper. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them, now listen to these words, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. I don't have time to get into it, but his disciples said, no, man, you can't do this to us, Jesus. Verse 12, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example. Say it out loud, an example. I have set for you an example that you should do for others as I have now done for you. And I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master. What's he saying? If I'm your Lord, how many of you have made Jesus the Lord of your life? Then you're not greater than your Lord, are you? I tell you the truth. When the Son of God, who is truth, starts a sentence with, I'm telling you the truth, you better understand this is an important truth. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you post them. If you rant about them. No, if you do them. There are four simple things I want you to see about the full extent of the love of God that Jesus modeled. Number one is this, that love descends into greatness. Love doesn't ascend to greatness, it descends into greatness. God so loved the world that he came here. He robed himself in flesh. He humbled himself and took on a body for the purpose of dying for me, the purpose of dying for you. He laid aside his glory and took on humanity. Love, the love of God, the love that Jesus modeled, is a love that humbles itself, is a love that serves, is a love that descends into greatness. The second thing is this, love that absolutely, the love of Jesus, the love he modeled, it ignores cultural norms and cultural expectations. What do you mean by that? You have to understand, because we don't understand in our culture what washing feet meant in that culture. In the Eastern culture, feet are things that you don't touch somebody's feet. In fact, when Michelle and I were over in the East, we were sitting in a lobby of a hotel, and I think it was either Michelle, I think I put my foot, Michelle put her foot up on the end table. And immediately someone ran over and said, put your foot down. Because it was just culturally so insensitive. Your feet are considered filthy. And then for a servant to wash the feet of somebody was the equivalency, and please forgive my frankness, is if somebody came to your home and had a bowel movement and you cleaned them. Yeah, I'm not doing that. Would you all agree? No, not doing that. Just don't come. Would you agree? Okay, I mean, let's be honest. That's the equivalency of what it would have meant. And the servant who was given that task was given the lowliest of lowliest. Now imagine Jesus, who's about to die for their sins, goes and starts to wash their feet without any announcement. He just kneels down and grabs their feet and begins to wash them one by one. Thirdly, this, love serves. It doesn't talk at broken people. Love serves broken people. We have to now listen to what Jesus said. I'm giving you an example how to show, to model the full extent of my love. I want to model this for you. I want you to see it. And Jesus went and knelt down in front of a man named Judas, who Satan had already possessed his heart, who was about to betray him and put him on a cross. And he knelt down to the man who would betray him, and he washed his feet. The lowliest thing you can do, this is God in flesh. And then he went to his disciples, all of which would abandon him. And he washed every one of their feet. And as I prayed about this, I said, Lord, you know, none of this was necessary to redeem our souls. Why did you do it? Because if we don't understand this kind of love, the power of the gospel will be quenched. The power of the gospel has to come through people that know God and love God and will love people. And Jesus literally served the very people that were broken. And then he went and died for them and died for you and died for me. Here's the fourth thing. Love acts in the face of betrayal. Love will act in the face of rejection, mistreatment, and abandonment. Think of it. In the very face of those who literally betray him with a kiss for money. Love doesn't ask permission from how you're feeling. Love doesn't ask permission from what people think. Again and again, people have said, I'm in so many words, stop saying Black Lives Matter to me. Don't use that word. No, I won't stop because Black Lives Matter to me. Yeah, but what do people think? I don't care what people think. Black lives matter to me. Policemen matter to me. Because they are used of God and they make an amazing sacrifice for my life. And I will honor them and I will serve them. Yeah, but you can't do both. I can do anything God tells me to do. So it makes me unhappy. You didn't die for me. Listen, please don't mishear my heart. Please, please. So Pastor, but that upsets somebody. I don't care. Why don't you care? I'm 59. It won't be too long. I'll be as old as John Spencer. And I'll be dead. I'll stand before God. And you won't be there. And you will stand before God. And I won't be there. Jesus is the Lord of my life. And I'm going to love like he loved. Because he gave himself for me. I didn't deserve any of it. Oh, the extent of his love, how he modeled and he showed it. Jesus said, we are blessed, not by knowing this or posting it, by doing it. And it's going to take courage and it's going to take humility for God's people to love this way. But the move of God that's coming on the earth will be born out of this kind of love. And it will do as it did in the early church. These that have turned this world upside down have come here also. The only way you will turn the world upside down is to love like Jesus. For he said, all men will know you are my disciple when you love like I've loved you and give yourself. I want to model that for you today. I want to introduce two men to you that are going to help me model it as well, who also have a humility and a courage and a willingness to do it. Ray and Omar, would you come up? I want to ask you to help me with this. Many of you know Ray and Omar, and perhaps many of you know more Omar because he's one of our lay pastors on staff. And they represent two groups of people today, the two that were leaving the 98 and going after. Ray represents the police. Come on over beside me, guys. And Omar represents those that are black and everybody in the culture. You say, well, so why? Why are you doing this? Because I want to help you to understand that this has to be modeled. I've known Omar for 14 years. He's a man of God. What I've never known is the extent of the pain and difficulty that he felt simply because of being black in a culture that didn't necessarily understand what that meant or treat him in a way that was even equitable. I had no idea because I always saw the way he walked it out with God. So I assumed he's okay. We see policemen, and Ray has served over 20 years as a policeman, a county policeman, and every day would leave his house and his family not knowing whether he's coming home and make these incredible sacrifices. And I've taken the time to listen and talk to many policemen, and we've had many conversations. I want to know, what can I do to serve you? Not to talk at you, but to serve you if God's people will simply do this. And I'm going to show you what the scripture said to do in a symbolic way. And it's washing feet. Washing feet isn't about hygiene. It's about holiness. And so would you guys take a seat? I want to just model for you what we should actually be doing as we interact with whomever, not just people that are either in the police world or those in the black community, but every person with whom you interact, regardless of race. Every person, listen please to my heart, every person with whom you interact. Yeah, but they won't understand me. Your Lord will. Come on, man, let's follow Jesus. Let's follow him with everything in our heart. Omar, as I said, I've known you for 14 years, and I've known you to be a man of God for 14 years, and I had no concept. I really didn't. I had no concept of what you've gone through. You shared with me because I asked you to. If you can just put your feet in here, I want to do what Jesus did, and I want to serve you. I'm your pastor, and it's an honor in my life to wash your feet and to honor you as a man of God, and to tell you that my heart breaks for what you have faced in this culture. I was just totally ignorant. And that doesn't justify anything. It's just a fact. But as I hear the stories of what you went through, I can't imagine someone that I've known so intimately has lived and even experienced this kind of pain, even presently dealing with certain things, and I'm not even aware of it. One, I want you to know for everybody like me that I want you to know I ask for your forgiveness. And I mean that with all my heart. I know you don't hold me accountable, but you love me, and I love you. Because you have modeled, as a Christian, forgiveness and this dignity that comes with having humility, I made a lot of assumptions. And I want you to know that I pray for you, and you as a representative of the black community, not just the black community that are Omars that love Jesus and that we can be on the same, but every person that is in the black community, that as a child of God, I wash your feet in representation, that I will wash their feet as well. Because even those with whom I disagree politically and maybe are taking things beyond what I think is a biblical context, they are not my enemy. They are my mission field. And I want to model that kind of love and lay down my life. And so today, you as a representative, I want you to know that I love you and we love you and we serve the black community because you are in pain. And we're going to leave the 98 and we're going to go to the 2. And so I want to thank you. And as I dry your feet,
thank you.
I just want you to know that as a pastor, it has been one of the honors, really, of my life to get to know you. And your wife makes food that can change your life from New Orleans food. Thank you for that as well.
Thank you.
Would you tell Omar how much you love him, please? Ray, would you take a seat? Thank you. You know, Ray, as we in this world that we live, what people don't know, because maybe they haven't had the conversations that and I haven't had enough of them, but I've talked to enough policemen and I've been put in positions with police over the years that none of us really think about. I never did. I got phone calls through the years when police would have to go to an accident and there'd be two or three children under 5 years old killed. And not just killed where they look like they're sleeping, but there's really not a whole lot left. And then they have to deal with that. And then they have to go to their next thing the next day. And the devastation. I've sat in the room with men. They're shaking and they're crying because of the trauma that they've experienced. Next day they're at work. And so I never knew the extent. I don't put on a bulletproof vest when I go to work. I don't need one. Every day when you went to work, your family made a decision that he may not come home. And I want you to know that the Bible calls you a minister of God. And I honor you for the service and the sacrifice of your life. And I realize there is a group of people that don't reflect who you are as a man of God. And there are many police that are doing things and have done things. It's a small percentage, but that are evil. But I can suggest it and tell to everyone that every policeman I've talked to has told me two things. We all want them out. Amen. And then number two, we're thrilled. You give us as much training as you can bring to us. We'll take it. And I refuse to step aside and to be an added voice to your pain. I am thankful for your life. I am thankful for every policeman, man, woman of every race, every family member.
Thank you.
With all my heart. I mean that with everything in me. Every husband, every wife, every mother, every father, that right now when they go to bed, and this is what I'm directly, Pastor John, I don't know what when he or she leaves my house, my God, I'm just terrified. You don't know what footing you're on today. Those who should be supporting you in the system have abandoned you. And police don't know their footing. And yet they're still required. And they don't even know, no one's clarifying it because it's too political right now. And in the balance hangs people that are willing to give their life and have given their life. 29 to date this year have already died in the line of duty. And you go to work every day with that knowledge. Tonight, when I go to bed, if something happens outside my home, I call 911. And they say, sir, stay in your house and lock in your room. Somebody with a uniform that I don't know is going to come to my house and stand between me and possible death and put their life on the line for me. I want you to know, as a man of God, as a pastor, that it is an honor to wash your feet. It is an honor to serve you and to tell you that you matter to God, you matter to me. And every policeman who is making that sacrifice, we pray for your safety. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sir. As I dry your feet again, Ray, I thank you for the privilege of being able to pastor people like you. And there are many policemen that come to this church as well. I want you to know that we not only say we support you, we love you.
Thank you.
And we pray for you. And we thank you. Omar, I love you and thank you. Would you stand together with the three of us, please, as we pray together? Come on over here, guys. I want to pray together. Would you stand together with me? And then we're going to sing a song of blessing over our nation, over our own lives, as we declare the blessing of heaven. I want to pray symbolically with Omar representing people of color in our nation, people with whom you may agree or disagree, people that you may sit in the room with and love, like I love Omar because I've known him for years, people you don't know at all, and some with whom you may terribly disagree. But we are going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we are going to serve people because there's a move of God coming, and that move of God is going to be born out of the people of God loving like Jesus, and it's going to turn this world upside down. Telling you, it's coming to pass. Ray, you representing policemen, truly of all races, because of the risk, but for every policeman, man and woman, that goes out and today doesn't know their footing, that doesn't know what their next step should be, and doesn't know where their support or lack of it will be, but gets up every day and takes that risk anyway. I thank you for that. And we're going to pray over the both of you as a representation of what's going on in our world. And we are going to make a commitment as God's people, as men and women of God, to love like Jesus loved. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you so much for these wonderful men that and with whom they represent. I thank you for every person in the black community. Those with whom I would fully agree and we walk with Jesus together, and those who absolutely don't. They matter to you, Jesus. You died for everyone. And I speak blessing on their life, that you would reach into the broken places where their hearts have been broken. Where Omar has told me, as he's walked free with forgiveness in his heart, because the prisoner that was set free when Omar had chosen to forgive wasn't the person that offended him, but it was him. And I know how he longs to see people in his world to experience that same freedom. And Lord, we pray for every person today that their heart's broken, that they're so angry and they're bitter, and they have just cause, but it's still destroying them. We pray that you would raise up a people of God that don't look at anything except the bloodstained master and his sacrifice and showing the full extent of his love like he told us to do. And in doing so, not knowing these things, but doing them, the blessing of heaven will pour on this earth. Lord, I pray, as Ray is a representative of every policeman today, I pray over policemen. I pray for their safety. I pray for divine wisdom and peace upon them. I pray for the husbands and wives and moms and dads and children who today, right now, are in fear. Right now, some are having, even as we pray, panic attacks, not knowing, and this terrible wondering. That sentiment has been true in both groups. Both groups have left home with those feelings. And we're leaving our home. We're leaving our 100, if you will, the 98. And we're going in with everything we've got with the love of God to serve both communities. And Lord, we pray and thank you for men and women who are ministers of God, willing to lay down their life for the kingdom, who've experienced more heartache and seen more things than most of us who ever dreamed to see. And it's not a TV show. It's their life. And we honor them and we serve them. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, man. Would you give God praise? Buddy, I love you, man.
I love you. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you so much, man. I love you. I love you, man. I love you so much, man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We're going to sing a song, the prayer, for the favor of God upon our nation, that the blessing of God would be on our children. And our children's children. Come on, man. Let's sing it together. Worship team, come on. Lead us as we sing together. Come on, God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Father, we lift our hearts. We lift our hands. We lift our voices. And we thank you that we are one in Christ. And we will do the will of our master. We will not be greater than our master. We will not be greater than his message. We will show our world the full extent of his love. We will follow the example of a Savior and do for others what he's done for us. He knelt down and he served the ones who didn't understand him, the ones who would even hurt him, the ones who would abandon him. He served them, and then he died for every human being and bore the weight of their sin. Let us be like Jesus, that we would take the weight and the sorrow and even the sin of our world and bear it in love, so they could see that truly Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Only by the love of God through men, God's people, will they know that he's alive and that we follow a living Savior, because no one is a disciple of someone who is dead. We serve a living God, and we pray your favor over our nation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is so, so very good. Would you thank Omar? Would you thank Ray for serving us today? Praise God. You can be seated. Before we go our way today, I want to make certain that every person here today, whether here in Newcastle or online, has had the opportunity to give your life to the one who gave his life for you. Jesus didn't die to start a religion. He died to set men and women free from the bondage of sin. Sin leaves a mark on every human being, and the Bible said it causes spiritual death. separation from God to lodge in the heart of every man and woman. And there is no way to pay it back. And the only way I pay for my sin is either receive the payment of a Savior or I pay for it myself at death. When people die without Christ, they die saying, I will pay for my sin without a Savior. I'll figure out my own way. I'm whatever you fill in the blank with. But I want you to know, God so loved you, God so loved me that He judged you guilty. He judged me guilty. And then He said, my mercy will boast against my justice. I want you to hear that statement. My mercy will boast against my judgment and justice. And I will come and robe myself in flesh so that I can pour out my wrath on myself. And the wrath of God on that cross was poured out on Jesus that was due me and due you. And He died, He was buried, and then He rose from the dead victorious over death. And He conquered it. And any human being that invites Christ into their heart receives that redemption. And you become brand new in Christ, your sin debt gone, canceled forever. When you die, you go to be with Christ because you received the payment of your debt through Christ. And then you live for Him with all your heart. So if you're here today or watching online and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you're not sure, I'm not asking if you go to church or you're religious. Irrelevant. Have you given your life to the living Christ who died for you? Because He only comes by invitation. If you haven't done that, you desire to receive Jesus into your heart today, or you're not sure, and say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand, and then we'll pray for you right where you're seated, right where you're at, online, wherever you are, whenever you're watching this. And Jesus turns no one away. He'll come into your heart. He will never leave you, never forsake you, give you the free gift of eternal life and your sin debt totally canceled. Oh, the love of God. The love of God is so incredible. So with every head bowed, eye closed, if you say, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand, and then we'll pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Would you lift your hand right where you're seated where I can see it? Do it right now, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. If you raised your hand, or you should have, please pray this out of the depths of your heart, and Jesus will come into your life. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, including those of you that are watching online. It's an amazing thing to walk with God. And so let's just pray together with Him. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross for me. He bore my sin debt and punishment. He was buried and He rose from the dead. He conquered the grave. He conquered it for me. So I opened up my life. And Jesus, I invite you into my life now to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin debt is canceled. And when I die, I am heaven bound because Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, man. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.